This is the intersection of assistive, educational, and information technology. Whether it's technology for inclusive classroom learning or tools for community success, technology can promote independence, and inclusive technology has become more available for everyone. Welcome to the Inclusive Technology for All podcast with your host, Mike Murata.
Well, hello there. Welcome to episode 58, which is scheduled to be released on October 28th, 2019. This episode features part two of my interviews from the TSLD conference, along with our usual updates on inclusive tools and a wrap-up of AT Chat. Remember, I want to hear from you. Feel free to leave your comments and ideas about topics for upcoming episodes. Visit me on SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast and leave your audio message. Also, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. All right, let's go. In the last episode, episode 57, we heard from several of the TSLD conference presenters, and I'm thrilled to present one more presenter today in this episode. Check out this interview with Bridget Nicholson as she discusses her session from the TSLD conference. All right, Bridget, take it away.
Hi, Mike, and thank you for inviting me to do a summary of the session that I did at TSLD. Firstly, I have to say, wonderful conference. You and Karen did a fantastic job of organizing their conference. My name is Bridget Nicholson. I'm an occupational therapist and assistive tech consultant. I've been an OT and an AT therapist for over 32 years. I live currently in Illinois and do most of my practice and work in Illinois, but also do conferences and presentations or training really around the country. My session was The Power of Multimedia for Learning. When I talk about multimedia, especially coming from an occupational therapy background, it's really important for us to not just look at multimedia. We really have to look at the whole child, and we have to look at multimodal learning, multiple modalities, different methods of learning, and also multisensory learning. We definitely cannot move directly to multimedia and look at the media on the screen for learning opportunities before we even look at those cool, exciting programs and apps and all the different media that's involved. We really have to look at the child. And so in the handouts that I gave, which I believe you've posted, so anyone that wants them can get to them, I do have a pretty complex map on Mindomo online. So there's a complex map to do with multimedia learning, but also multisensory and multimodal learning. We really have to consider the child's physical availability for learning, their physical setup, their posture and positioning, different types of seating and positioning and flexible positioning in the classroom, kinesthetic learning, haptic learning, and doing to learn. And then we really have to look at if that child is set up emotionally to learn. And even though multimedia and exciting and fun applications and programs might make a student feel more confident and feel able to better participate in learning, we really have to be looking at where the students emotionally are ready and available for learning before we start introducing all kinds of multimedia type tools, which for some students might be overwhelming. And then we really have to look at vision, visual skills, and modifications and accommodations for vision. Also hearing, I really, in the work that I'm doing, I don't see students using text-to-speech or listening to content enough, and then also talking and speech-to-text or speech recognition, and also voice recording. So we really should be having our students using verbal input, not only speech recognition, even just the very, very simple act of recording their voice can be highly effective for learning. I also shared with attendees a data collection website, typingtraining.com. Your students can get onto typingtraining.com and use every method of writing, handwriting, writing on a page, typing on a keyboard with or without accommodations, voice recording, and speech recognition, and the website will compare and contrast all those input methods, including if a student is writing on a piece of paper, the website will perform OCR and then come up with a words per minute, as well as the voice recording, the website will transcribe that. So I'm going to leave you with three essential multimedia apps. These are probably my most favorite multimedia apps: Shadow Puppet EDU, the absolute simplest way of getting pictures on pages and having students just talk about those pictures. Every single child, even if they're using an AAC device, can talk about pictures and show what they know that way. Book Creator is really one of my most all-time favorite true multimedia writing tools. And then Explain Everything is an app that allows students to actually create live video very easily to show what they know. So I'm hoping I summarized that quickly enough, a way for people to connect with me. My Twitter handle is Bridget Attec. So my name is, the spelling is B-R-I-D-G-E-T-T-E, Attec, A-T-E-C-H. And my email address is bnicholson@powerofattech.info. powerofattech.info. Okay, hope that was quick enough, and I hope it's useful information. Again, thanks so much, Mike.
Special thanks to Bridget for that great wrap-up of her session. I'll add the links to the three apps Bridget mentioned in the show notes. If you'd like to see the handouts from the sessions, just like Bridget mentioned in her clip, I'll put the link up in the show notes, but if you want to go to it, it is bit.ly/TSLD19schedule. Each session is listed with a link to a Google Doc with some crowdsourced notes. Make sure to follow the conference website at bit.ly/TSLDconference and on Twitter at TSLDconference for updates about our 2020 dates. Have you been using that closed captioning feature on Google Slides to promote accessibility? Well, that feature recently got an upgrade. For those who haven't used it yet, once you put your Google Slides into the presentation mode, you get a toolbar appear along the bottom of the screen with a bunch of buttons on it. Those are the buttons to advance the slides, to show the pointer, and there is a CC button for the closed captioning. If you click on that, you're now using your built-in microphone to capture your speech, and it transcribes that into captions that show up on the screen. The recent update to this feature saw a small arrow appear to the right of this CC button. This is where the new functions live. So now you have the ability to move the captions from the bottom of the screen to the top, which was a handy feature I actually just used yesterday at a presentation. In certain training rooms, depending on how it's set up, the screen setup causes the bottom of the projection screen to be too low to effectively show the captions to the entire room. So I was able to flip it, put it on the top to make it easier to view for everyone. You also now have the option to adjust the text size. Everything from small to extra large is represented. So this could be equally as helpful depending on the adjustment you need to make to accommodate the size of a room, the depth of a room, and how large it might be. The one feature we still don't have yet is the ability to capture the entire transcript of the captioning session. So hopefully Google is listening right now, and we will maybe see that soon. Want to find other people interested in inclusive and assistive technology? Well, then join us every Wednesday night on Twitter at 8 p.m. Eastern for AT Chat. Each week, Karen Janowski and I lead an hour-long discussion about tools and strategies for inclusion and accessibility for individuals with disabilities. This week's AT Chat may have been one of my favorite discussions we've had so far. Lisa Wern and I led a discussion centered around the work done by Nathan Langrad in his book, Everyday Instructional Coaching, 7 Daily Drivers to Support Teacher Effectiveness. We used the sections of the book to discuss how to be effective coaches to the people we support with assistive technology. This was a great discussion, and we were really able to explore the different ways we can support educators to promote student success with technology. Elisa and I introduced this book during our AT Chat summer book study, but we didn't get a ton of participation, so we figured, hey, why not? Let's bring it back again during one of the weekly AT Chats, and it did not disappoint. The 7 daily drivers that are talked about in the book are collaboration, transparency, inquiry, discourse, reverberation, sincerity, and influence. So let me give you a quick description of each of these drivers. So collaboration focuses on how can we transform collaboration by promoting diversity, embracing dissonance, and ensuring balance. Transparency focuses on how coaches can create a trusting, positive, sharing environment when they are transparent about their intentions, goals, flaws, and mistakes. Inquiry focuses on how coaches can help educators learn and grow, not by telling them what to do, but by asking questions and promoting inquiry. Discourse talks about how a healthy discourse can be created by presenting your questions, speaking tentatively in ways that empower teachers and students, reframing the problems to help them solve their own problems in their own ways, and communicate in ways that motivate and not push them aside. Reverberation focuses on moving beyond feedback to what's called the reverberation cycle. The coach invites educators to give feedback not only on their own progress, but on how the coach supported their learning and growth. Sincerity is all about the coach being able to self-monitor their interactions so that they can encourage teachers and others to find their voice. If we coach from a sincere place, those we work with can be more willing to take risks and share. And finally, influence. Here, coaches use their influence to create demand for, inspire, and catalyze change. Parts of this includes reframing the focus from ineffective teaching to effective student learning. There's so much to unpack from this book. I feel like we could do a whole series of podcasts just on this book. And in fact, as I sit here and say it out loud, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll take one driver, one of these daily drivers, and include a breakdown of that into the next 7 episodes of the podcast, and we'll dive a little deeper into it. So there you go, just like that. You were there when a plan came together. If you want to catch up on the Wakelet from this past week and see the conversation we had, check it out at bit.ly/ATChat102319.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. Do you have an idea for a future episode? Leave an audio message via SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast with your suggestion. It may appear on an upcoming episode. To stay current on all things inclusive and assistive technology, follow Mike on Twitter at MMATP and visit his website at MMATP.com. For inclusive technology resources and all the previous podcast episodes.